Good afternoon. I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is the, I thought this was our agenda. This is not our agenda. This is our agenda. I'd like to call the call to order the Carson City Advisory Board to manage wildlife meeting to discuss possible action on urban wildlife information program. Call to order. Tamar, could you run a roll call, please?
Chairperson Martin. I know you're here. Vice Chairperson Zuber. Member Powell.
Here.
Member Valley.
Here.
Member Yannick.
Here.
Quorum's present.
And Member Martin is here. Thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to open it up to public comment to discuss any topic relevant within the authority of the Carson Advisory Board to manage wildlife. Any public comment? Seeing none, I'd like to take a see if there's somebody like to pass adoption of the agenda today.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion to adopt the agenda and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Item number four, discussion and possible action on the Carson City Advisory Board to Manage Wildlife Coordination of Urban Wildlife Information Program. That's the purpose of this meeting. Let me give you a little background. If you remember our February meeting, we had some people from the public quite concerned about deer in the community. And then we had a discussion about not only deer but wildlife throughout the community that ranged from everything from geese to mountain lions to deer. And there was a lot of focus on deer because we're seeing more and more urban deer. A follow-on to that meeting was a couple of meetings hosted by Carson City Parks and Recreation Department concerning urban deer. That was very well attended by one of our supervisors, Karen Abboud, who's in the audience. Hi, Karen. And as well as wildlife, a couple of folks here from wildlife, as well as Joanne, Carson City Parks and Rec, Open Space Program, as well as the Carson City Advisory Board. The conclusion on that, or really what happened is that there was a desire for a group to step forward to coordinate disseminating information regarding wildlife. After discussing it, it was thought that one of the best groups to coordinate a wildlife, urban wildlife with a focus on deer would be the Carson City Wildlife Advisory Board, simply because we have the authority both under the city as well as the state. We have credibility, we can offer guidance, and we can coordinate. The things that we don't have as a group, we don't have a staff, we don't have a budget, and we don't have authority to implement programs. By that, I mean we cannot go out and pick up a dead deer. We can't go out and run interference. We are not an implementing agency. But as far as coordinating, it seems logical to do that. So before we have a discussion on this and whether we adopt this or not, I do have a couple of things for us to look at as background. Before we get to the webpage tomorrow, I think we go to the video first. And I wanted to show you an urban wildlife video that is very germane. It's an excellent outreach program. It was developed by the Washoe County Health District, and it's on Keeping Nevada Bears Wild. And this is available for our use as well as anyone else's use. So I'll hush up now, and Tamar, if you could show this I'd appreciate it. And Jim, if you could dim the lights, I'd appreciate that. Thank you. I think they're right down.
Jim, they're right there. Oh, yeah, that would be good.
As fall sets in northern Nevada, black bears are making a desperate attempt to prepare for the coming winter months by stocking up on calories. They must pile on enough pounds to make it through hibernation. But they're finding a food source that's proving to be a problem both for them and humans.
Garbage is a really good resource from a physiological perspective. And the reason for that is because it's predictable in space and time. Garbage cans are shut out the same day of the week after week. And even if a bear goes into a garbage can or dumpster and eats all of the calories out of it, the next week it's complete.
With bears seeking food in urban areas, human-bear conflicts are on an increase. And if left unchecked, they could lead to dangerous encounters.
And then all of a sudden, within a blink, she was just running towards us like a freight train.
She physically broke through the middle of the door, and crawled through the door. Regardless of how habituated we may be to people, they're still wild animals, and they're potentially dangerous.
Garbage-seeking bears a lesson that will keep them and the local residents safe.
We've opted to do the on-site releases with immersive conditioning, meaning we release the bears right where we catch them or very close to it, within that bear's home range, typically, and then subject the bear to a bad experience around humans, the immersive conditioning. We shoot at it with 12-gauge rubber bullets, rubber buckshot, beanbag rounds, and then chase it with the colonial bear dogs, whose job is to harass and haze that bear, hopefully up a tree. And it's all designed to modify the behavior of really bold bears. It's not going to make a bear quit going after human sources of food. And nine times out of ten, it's not going to make a bear leave its home range or leave a certain area. But what we have noticed is it will make bears less bold around people. They become more nocturnal, which is what they should be doing in urban situations. And when they see people, they're running the other direction.
Stopping these bears' urban foraging habits is essential to prevent the more serious scenario of a house break-in, which is inevitable once they've accustomed themselves to this learned behavior. And once a bear gets in your house, it will stop at nothing to find what it came for.
Well, when the bear broke in after we found the place, when we came back here, our front door had a hole in it. It actually put a hole through the speakeasy opening, and it crawled through the top of the door, right through the middle of it. We figured the bear was in the house for approximately 3 days or so, living inside the house. It went through all our cabinets here in the kitchen, spread condiments all over the floor, not necessarily food, but ketchup, mustard, seasoning, flour, those kind of things, not your traditional food. Made a mess of the entire house. Left the refrigerator wide open. It was continuously running. Burned up the refrigerator. There was just a mess everywhere, all over the carpet. Did approximately $10,000 in damage. Had to replace all the carpet in the house, which had just been replaced about 6 months prior to that, so we had to replace it again. You come to realize that you don't necessarily need a robber or a thief to break into your house, and in essence, this is a different kind of robber or a different kind of thief. Feeling violated. I had a big hole in my door. It was going into winter, and it was a huge shock, and we had a tremendous mess to clean up, and it was very frustrating, especially when we just had the house remodeled.
I got a text message from my neighbor telling me that he thought there was a bear that broke in, and I kind of shrugged it off, and then I got home at about 8 at night, and came home and my house was in ruins. Every single bit of food that was anywhere, no matter how high or low or behind what, was eaten. It even got into my salad dressing, mustard, ketchup, ate all of that. And you could see a trail of mustard, and it led to my bedroom and just kind of all over the place. It attacked the door handle and somehow unlocked it. And then about 3 days later, after the initial break-in, I woke up the next morning and I found my screen door just laying on the ground, where it must have put a paw here and just ripped it off, thinking that it was going to get inside the house somehow, and it completely just destroyed it. The car thing was a week later, when you think everything's done. I got another text from my neighbor, and he's like, "Hey man, I don't know how to tell you this, but I think a bear broke into your car." And again, you think, well, maybe it's just a scratch or something. And my driver's side window was completely shattered. There's glass everywhere in the car, everywhere outside. And the car smelled really bad. And there was mud covered everywhere, like the seats. Again, it's just kind of like that sense of security, like not even my car is safe. The only thing I can think of is I had some gum and I had some pistachios, but I mean, you don't think that those can really put off a big smell, but maybe just anything. They're so desperate that anything that resembles food they're after. So it's just kind of one of those things. Just need to make sure to not keep trash and food in my car, because definitely don't want it to happen again.
Well, we're lucky enough to live up here where there is a lot of wildlife, actually. And the bears come around, it's apple season, and they seem to know when the apples are going to be ready. And so she had never seen one in the day, ever. We see bear poop all around, so we know they've been here, and we're always careful for that reason. But today, she's been here since early morning with her three little cubs. And so I told my daughter earlier not to go out to the car without letting me know. So she and I opened the back gate, and the bear was down on the ground with her cubs. And this is a distance from that gate. But she, all of a sudden, her posture changed. And then she charged us. And when that happens, it's a frightening situation because she moves like a train. She's so fast. But then she stopped, and we ran into the back immediately and closed the door because you just don't want to mess around with them. She's just here protecting her babies, and I don't want anything bad to ever happen to them. But being around people is not good for them.
When bears first learn of the solid waste that's available to them in our neighborhoods, they're still pretty wary of humans and take off at the first sight of us. But as time goes by and they find garbage cans an easy source of calories, they scout out other parts of your home. This leads to them becoming far more bold and therefore more dangerous. Once a bear has become bold enough to enter your house, it unfortunately becomes a threat to human safety. So stopping bears foraging in our neighborhoods is a priority for your safety and the bear's life.
Black bears do not belong inside people's homes. I don't care if you've left a window open, a door open, or if the bear tore a door open to get in. They don't belong inside people's homes. If bears are inside homes and we know or we're positive we have that right bear, that's going to be a bear that's going to be euthanized. But we try to give the bears the benefit of the doubt. If we're uncertain whether it's the right bear or not, we'll tag it. And in those cases, those are the bears that we may attempt translocation. What that does is it tells us if the damage or the break-ins continue, then we know that that was the wrong bear, if it takes them a week or two to get back home. But if the problems cease, and then that tagged bear shows up 2 or 3 weeks later and the problems continue, then we know who the culprit is and we can deal with it. Our den should be, hopefully.
Just over the ridge? Or
just,
on the side?
Just.
We began the research on bears in western Nevada, specifically in the Lake Tahoe Basin and the western part of the Great Basin, back in the late 1990s. And it was a collaborative effort between myself, when I was at the University of Nevada, Reno, and the Nevada Department of Wildlife. And our goals really were just to understand what was going on with the bear population. What we heard from a lot of people that lived in the Tahoe Basin, for example, is that I've lived here for 30 years, I've never seen a bear. The last 3 years, I've seen 6 of them. Is the bear population increasing? And we didn't know if it was an increase in the bear population or if it was a redistribution of the population due to anthropogenic foods, namely in the form of garbage. And so we were really interested in knowing what was happening to the bear population. So there were some basic bear ecology questions, but we also wanted to understand what the drivers and the mechanisms were for human-bear conflicts and how to mitigate those conflicts. Our data over the course of this research shown that bears and garbage are actually having benefits from a physiological perspective. They're heavier on average than their wildland counterparts. Sometimes they'll have smaller home ranges. And for females, they actually, in some cases, were giving birth to more cubs. Unfortunately, those females down these urban areas lose their cubs at a high level because, namely, collisions with vehicles. The other thing that our data has demonstrated is that these urban areas are kind of attractive sinks, which means that because of the garbage in there, bears are attracted to them, but they have higher mortality rates than birth rates, which is the definition of a sink. And so there are areas where you can lose individuals from the population. Fortunately for us in the Tahoe Basin, and specifically on the Nevada side, these urban and exurban sprawl areas only cover about 7% of the landscape, so we have an opportunity to still have a growing bear population, despite the fact that some of these urban areas can be these attractive sinks.
So one of the first improvements we did before we electrified the house was install a metal bear box or garbage container to minimize the amount of garbage that was distributed all over the area. Our neighbors over the years have added these are great help, keep the area clean, keep the bears away, and it's probably one of the most best improvements you can do right off the get-go. So this particular unit has a key that comes with it. It's mounted on the side here. you need the key to open this. And this unit holds two garbage cans. They have two unit and one unit systems. But as you can see, once it's locked up, it's very difficult to get into, and we've never had a break-in or had any issues after we installed this. This is the front door that was broken into previously that we've had to replace. We installed a system right on the front of the door. We've also installed a system on the back of the deck, so they don't have access to the back of the deck or cannot go enter through the back door. Since we've done all the bear proofing, we've had very minimal encounters with the bears. There's been less signs. They are in the area. It's evident they haven't gone away, but we have not had the house broken into or any activity around the outside of the house like we had previously to installing our system.
This homeowner had called me after having several break-ins at their property, and what we did at the home was set up a safe but effective electrical deterrent at the house that effectively keeps the bears away from the home and keeps their house safe and gives the homeowner a peace of mind. So one of the products that I've created is this electric bear mat. It sits in front of the doorway and effectively protects the doors from bears entering the house. It's a very user-friendly system on the home. There's no wires to remove. People turn the controller off and just walk into the house. But it's also very effective as well. The bear can't touch the door without stepping on the mat. But we use other products as well on the house. Every door, every window needs a different option. One of our options here is what we call the electric wires. It just protects the lower portion of the window, so when the bear reaches up to break the window, it gets a safe but effective shock. One more option for homeowners is the electric removable wires. It's a very simple product to use. When they show up to the house, they turn the system off, and they simply unhook the wires and put them away while they're at the property. When they're ready to leave and they want to secure the home again, they simply stretch the wires across the door, reattaching them, and go turn the system on, and it's okay to leave the house. Bears can cause devastating damage to your home. Not only will they break your windows, break your doors, rip holes to your siding, but they can completely trash the inside of the house. I've seen gas stoves turned on from the bears, sinks flooded and clogged, flooding the homes, carpets destroyed, food and trash all over the house, cabinets ripped out of the wall, and refrigerators knocked over. You don't want a bear in the house. You want to do everything you can to deter that bear and keep your property safe and secure.
The biggest mistake to make when living in bear country is to think that it will never happen to you. So here are a few tips that cost nothing to do to keep a bear from your door. Keep your property clean. Don't leave garbage lying around and easily accessible. If you live or are vacationing in an apartment complex or condominium, don't leave garbage bags outside your door. Instead, place them immediately in one of the provided garbage containers. And remember to always lock the doors and latches on bear-proof dumpsters and cans. Don't place garbage cans out before the morning of pickup. This just trains the bears to arrive the night before garbage day. Place any highly pungent and perishable scraps like chicken and turkey carcasses in a plastic bag and freeze them until garbage day. This will prevent any attractive odors from lingering around your house and garbage can. Minimize animal feeds around your home. Keep pet bowls clean and clear up any spilled food. If feeding the birds, use temporary feeders that can be removed after use. Install horse grain and chicken feeds in lockable metal containers. Pick up fallen fruit as regularly as possible. Rotting fruit on the ground is a VIP invitation to a bear. Clean your barbecue straight after using it and keep pungent fire starters locked away. Remove all foods, including chewing gum, from your vehicle. A bear will even break into a car for an old candy wrapper, so remove all wrappers, old beverage containers, and garbage too. Don't make it easy for them. Close and secure all your doors and windows when leaving your house. Educate and encourage your neighbors to take the same steps. The more households in your neighborhood that are bear aware will keep the bears from your door.
But to really deter a bear and get it to move on, there are a few things you can do to bear-proof and have peace of mind. Only store garbage in a bear-resistant or bear-proof container. This will stop the bear from gaining any type of reward when attempting to open it. Install an electric fence around your fruit trees and beehives. This can be of the permanent or removable type, but without it, the bears will continue to return for the delicious fruit and honey. Add extra bolts to your doors to remove any movement when a bear pushes on it. If it feels secure, they're more likely to move on. And avoid external doors with weak points of entry, like doggy doors and glass panes. Protecting your home with a simple electric system will stop the bears from thinking it's accessible and will pay for itself over and over by preventing a break-in. All of these improvements will deter a bear from your property, but the simplest things are often the best deterrents. When leaving your home for long periods, remove all foods, condiments, spices, and oils, anything that a bear will find attractive. Remember, a bear's sense of smell is possibly the strongest in the animal kingdom, about 7 times stronger than that of a bloodhound. They rely on this keen sense of smell for everything from locating mates, detecting danger, identifying cubs, and finding food. If you can't smell it, it doesn't mean that a bear can't. And if there's the faintest odor of something a bear thinks is edible coming from your home, they will break in to find it. Nearly all house break-ins are due to food items in the home, even when the homeowner was convinced they'd removed all attractants. Removing all these attractive items while you're away for the season is probably the simplest thing you can do to avoid this devastating scene when you arrive home.
Like Washoe County, I think there's a lot of opportunity to have a successful coexistence of bears and people and reduction in conflicts. I don't think we'll ever completely eliminate the conflicts out there, just because if you have a neighborhood, for example, and 90% of the homes are compliant and trying to reduce conflicts by making their garbage unavailable to bears. Even a small percentage of the population, and it could be accidental and non-intentional, if you have those food resources available, you could still end up with a bear down into those urban areas. And so we'll probably never completely get rid of the conflicts, but I think we can, as communities, work together to get those conflict levels down to a socially acceptable level.
Bear-resistant trash cans cost anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to $1,000 or $1,500. And I just tell people, what's your safety worth? The safety of your kids. I mean, you have bears coming into your neighborhoods. They're there for a reason. The one bear neighborhood within town is an anomaly. But when you have several bears on a consistent basis in these neighborhoods that are at the urban wildlife interface, we cannot keep those bears out of those neighborhoods. They're there for a reason. That's the attractants, the human sources of food.
To file a complaint regarding a garbage storage issue in your neighborhood, please call the Washoe County Health District hotline on 775-328-2436.
Thank you, Tamar. That's just the credits now. Thank you. The reason I wanted to show that is before we consider taking this on, you know, you probably have questions about how much detail is there out there and how much support is there. And that's an example of something that's immediately available to the community and to the residents of Carson City. When I talked to Washoe County Environmental Health before they gave that to me, they said, please do show it to your community. That video, by the way, costs about $24,000 for them to develop that, and I think it was really well done. The other thing I wanted you to see before we take an action on this or consider an action is what type of resources are there out there. This is the state of Utah. Has a Wild Aware program. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, Tamar, I just want to show you who are the participants in this a little bit further. There you go. It's the Utah Department of Natural Resources, their local zoo, and then the Utah State Cooperative Extension. I have spoken directly with the coordinator from their Department of Wildlife as well as their cooperative extension agent up at Utah State. And I think, Joanne, you even talked to a person from the zoo. I mean, our extension agent here talked to one of the person from the zoo. If you scroll up now, Tamar, I just want to show you what they've done in Utah. They have a whole living with wildlife. And if you go in the upper left-hand corner there, click that. What they've done is they've put together an informational component on all of these animals, and you can see there's some of them that are just pests. They have, if you scroll down a little more, you'll see skunks. They have raccoons, snakes, and then in the center is the focus of our particular concern, and that's mule deer. If you open that up for me, Tamar, thank you. You can see, scroll down a little bit, they have put together, not quite that far, Tamar, up a little bit. They put together quite a bit of information and links. And what I like about this is that all of this is online. You can put this up on the city's webpage. We can make this information available really quickly. The very first item on here is a brochure that they have. We can adapt this fairly easily, and we can make this available. But this is all about urban deer. Scroll down a little bit to the next page. You can see they have how to prevent damage on your property. They have what to do at home, keep your distance, road safety, and then some mule deer facts. You know, it's what I see on this thing is that mule deer, when they come to your neighborhood, they come and bring their parasites, their predators, and their appetites. And so you need to be aware of those things. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand on parasites, but I was just reviewing the state of New Hampshire's regulations for moose hunting. And they are going to, they're right now considering stopping moose hunting because of the tick problem in New Hampshire. Anyway, the parasites can be a problem as well because they do get transmitted to your pets. So with all that, that's the information. I'd like to open it up for discussion among the board. Also, there's a lot of people here in the audience that have been doing a lot of work on this. So with that, you know, I'm turning this thing over. And Gil, I'm going to let you speak for a while.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My involvement with the urban deer problem started over a year ago. And it's surprising how many people you come in contact with who have issues with the deer. And there are two sides to the story. There are people who love to see them, and there are people who would love to get rid of them. And I think when we've been looking at some of the brochures that Utah has produced, I think it provides an awful lot of information for both sides of this issue. If you want to keep the deer safe, there's ways to do that. If you want to keep the deer off your property, and it has a great amount of information on plants, bushes, greenery that you can put in that deer don't like. So if you don't want them to be your unwelcome guest, there are ways to try to keep them so it's not a hospitable. Your home and your property isn't hospitable to them. So I think that the issue with some of the deer that have been hit by vehicles and wind up under somebody's bush, and the people locally see a wounded deer, well, their instinct is to try to take care of it, which they know nothing about. They don't know that a wounded animal is likely to defend itself when you come upon it. And if you've got a buck and he's got a head full of antlers, there's a lot of likelihood that you could get hurt. We've had people tell us stories about observing kids at school feeding deer out of their hand. Well, luckily that nothing startled that deer, because it would have looked for the easiest way out, and that's straight ahead. And if that child was in the way, you know, we'd have a real situation on our hands. I've been involved where neighbors wanted to care for deer. Obviously, the deer was never going to fully recover. All it was going to do is become prey for some of the coyotes and predators that we have on the east and west side of town. So there's been times when our law enforcement agencies have had to dispatch some of these deers. And, you know, it's some people see that happening and they don't want to see that happening, but they don't understand that it was a more humane end rather than being ripped apart by coyotes or a mountain lion. So I think that, you know, when we're involved with this, I think that the opportunity to educate the residents of the city as to the do's and don'ts. I loved some of the brochures that Utah has produced. I think they would be great educational products to provide to the community. And I think as the advisory board to manage wildlife, I think we have a responsibility to do what we can to gather this information, try to make it available, and work with the other departments in the city to make this a successful program. Because I think, with the proper education, I think we can do a lot for both sides of this issue. The people that want to open the window and see the deer, and the other people who don't want the deer anywhere near them, and to try to keep the deer safe and the public safe.
Thank you, Gil. And I'm going to ask Karen about, if she can help me out here. I'm going to put you on the spot if you don't mind. Karen, if you wouldn't mind coming up, I'd like to maybe get your input to our group and mm-hmm. what you think we can do and what you think the focus of this urban deer and urban wildlife issue should be. So thank you, Karen.
Sure. Well, I've been thinking a lot about it, and implementation is the biggest part of this puzzle. And I'm not sure if you've spoken to the city manager about it, but I feel like, since you're our advisory group on wildlife, that it needs to come before the board, and the suggestion needs to be made that information like this go on the city website, along with who you call in what instance, because people don't know. I had a dead deer up in my area. I wasn't sure either who to call. You can't call animal control, because that's not what they deal with. It's the Department of Wildlife that ultimately came and got the dead deer. But folks don't know. They don't know, as Gail was referring to, that the sheriff does have to respond to incidences where you have an injured animal like that, and he has their duty is to protect the public. So I think it's very, very important going forward that we do this in the proper manner. I also think, because the city has a good dialogue with the school district, that some sort of a public service announcement go out and via the school district to the younger children. My grandkids were at the house last weekend, and I had a herd of six across the street. They live in Reno and right in the heart of town. They don't see deer that often. Well, they thought that was a novelty, and I had to go, whoa, wait a minute. We don't need to get that close. Mama's right over there. You know, deer have hooves that are as sharp as knives, and they can hurt. So kids need to know that, you know, this isn't Bambi, and animals need to be treated at a distance with respect, and everyone will stay a lot safer. So those are the two, those are the thoughts that I had in terms of going forward and how to implement this. Joanne may have some other input with regards to it through cooperative extension, but I felt that those two outreach efforts could probably cover the most ground.
Thank you. Any questions for Karen? No, I have just one.
Chairman.
Go ahead.
Chairman. Karen, with going back a step, because when we had a meeting with Joanne last week, we got to a point where we said, okay, implementation is the key. And as you said, and as Doug has mentioned, you know, we're just an advisory board.
Right.
And one of the reasons for having this meeting and to have this dialogue is somebody, I mean, we can gather information, we can help disseminate it, because that's our role. But when it comes to, like you just said, who are you going to call?
Right.
We don't have a Ghostbuster here in town at this point. And as Doug said, we don't have any budget. We don't have the wherewithal to do some of this thing. And we were trying to one of the questions we were looking at is, we've kind of taken the first couple of steps of as far as seeing what's available.
Sure.
I'd say 9 out of the 10 people I ask about, do you realize there's a law against feeding wild animals? I said, what are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, so not only is it a law against doing it, it's really unhealthy for the deer. And as some people coined the phrase, a fed deer is a dead deer, because they get used to that. Their whole digestive system gets thrown out of whack. And so back to the issue about implementation. I mean, the purpose for our board, as Doug mentioned earlier, is we are going to take up the issue of, should we do this?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to approve the fact that we're going to go ahead with this program. And part of that program down toward that's involved is, how do we actually implement it? Do we need town hall meetings? Do we need stuff on the city's website? We really need to get the public to the point where they're really curious about this, and they want to understand what role they play in this and what's the right thing to do. And your comment about the school system was right on the spot, because, you know, John and you know, is a perfect entree into the school system for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we all want to go, but we need help in the implementation portion. And we're looking towards, hopefully, the city to take, you know, who in the city would be responsible for working with this information that we could provide, or we could provide assistance. And Joanne, the Extension Division, is got a tremendous amount of resources. So utilizing all the things that we've kind of started, you know, would be the way to resolve this in the long run.
I know that the city has contracted with various web designers and things of that nature to get things done on the website. I know who I would suggest, but I can't speak for the rest of the city, but I also know that it can be done quite quickly and quite easily. You know, we may even have resources in-house to get it done. Since the information is, we're not rewriting the book. The information is out there already. We just need to put in the things that are applicable to Nevada and specifically to Carson City in terms of who do you call. And I just don't think it's that difficult, but I do think it needs to come before the board so that that can be decided. And I would suggest, and probably Doug, that you contact Nick Morano about that, our city manager, to that effect.
I have made those initial contacts. Good. Thank you very much. And it really comes down to Karen, and we have some other folks from the city here, Parks and Rec, mm-hmm. as well as our cooperative extension agent, as well as Endow. I think we can take this on if there's a commitment among all of us to mm-hmm. make it work. And I hate to take something on and not have it be able to be implementable.
Sure.
And I don't even know what that is yet. So I'm just looking for basically a nod of all of the group that mm-hmm. if we take this on, we'll be able to evolve it in a sensible, organized, cost-effective manner.
And I think that's absolutely doable. I just don't think it's that difficult to get that information out there because that's what it is. It's information that needs to be disseminated. And, you know, if it's a town hall, maybe it's incorporated with one of the numerous town halls that we have coming up. And since they cross in our crosswalks and we're going to be dealing with corridors, you know, simple as having those flyers available at that, at, you know, any town hall such that, you know, people can grab it, take it, look at it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I would like to entertain a motion so we can continue the discussion here and maybe have a few of the other folks speak here.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that the Carson City Advisory Board to Manage Wildlife take on the task of, let's say, a leading role in the gathering and implementation. Okay.
How about right here?
All right. To the coordination of the Urban Wildlife Information Program.
A second.
Any more discussion or any discussion in the board? Jim?
Yeah, I'd just like to make sure that we're, you know, as a coordinating group, that we can, you know, kind of guide people in what things need to be done or what areas with the input from the agencies of what we can do to inform the public. I think information is going to be key. As mentioned earlier, I do have a little bit of insight to the school district. And, you know, the fishing group has a poster program every year where, you know, maybe there's a contest with a poster or whatnot. There's several things that can be done to involve the kids and bring their awareness about what's going on around them, as well as possibly flyers for certain groups that live in certain areas that are concentrating more deer now, you know, whether through their homeowners association or whatever. These are issues that are dealt in some areas of town more than others, but eventually could be all of town. I'm on the east side, and I've got a deer herd in my backyard right now. So, you know, they're not bothering me yet. Apples haven't blossomed.
Thank you. Any other board members want to discuss anything? Members of the public, taking on the role of coordinating urban deer and urban wildlife is something that is going to be a challenge, and I hope all of you will help in this regard. So I'll open this up to public comment, and anybody want to say anything? Mr. Lackey.
Carl Lackey, Nevada Department of Wildlife. I think it's generally agreed upon that public education is going to be the way to solve this. And I've been to three of these meetings now. I think you guys have had four total, starting with Parks and Rec. And I don't think our Conservation Education Bureau has been to any of these. They would obviously be the lead role, at least from our agency, in assisting this effort. So I would ask that you make an attempt, and I think that request would be best coming from the board rather than myself or Mike, I would suggest contacting our director and letting him assign somebody to from our Con Ed Bureau to start attending these meetings. Well, they do have the expertise with the web person, two or three different people in our Conservation Education Bureau, obviously our PIO, Chris Healy, but I think we need to get them here.
And are you suggesting I contact Director Wassley, or would that be Teresa? Where would I go first?
Either way, but I think it would probably be better to let the chain of command work, contact Tony, and let him take it
from
there.
Down. Okay. Thank you very much. Any other comments?
As for the record, Fred Volz, it's kind of curious because over 2 months ago it was brought to the board's attention that diversionary feeding would be one of the mechanisms beyond education, and I don't believe there's been any initiative started toward the Wildlife Commission or department in having that implemented in some way or another. The deer are in town because they're looking for food and water. And the simple reality is, if they have that water in wilderness, they'll stay there. So I'd like to encourage you to not only contact Director Wasley about the education dimension, but about getting a grant, possibly with the city's financial assistance, to do the diversionary feeding. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Joanne?
I'm down here. Joanne Skelly, University of Nevada Cooperative Extension. I've been working with the group and Carson City and Endow's been at all the meetings, and their mule deer expert mentioned that this is an urban herd and they're not migrating in and out. They're just staying here. And so this herd breeds here and stays here. And so diversionary feeding may or may not be a solution. That's just one point I wanted to share from. And I would love to have, was it Cody? That's your mule deer person? He did a wonderful presentation, and I think we should have him do that in a community situation too, because it was really informative. But we put out the call for a volunteer force to come forward on discussing and helping us solve this deer issue, primarily education, because we're not going to be in the business of eliminating the herd or taking that on in any way. And so we have 15 people that would like to get involved, and I'm offering to get that organized and have a conversation with those folks if you guys approve this to go forward as the leadership role, and then we'll decide and have them decide what role and what roles they can fulfill. So we do have 15 people that do want to be involved and help. So that's always a good place. So I want to talk to the Endow volunteer coordinator and find out how that a nice way to handle that with them involved too. So
questions for Joanne? Joanne, I have a question, and this one is, what I just heard is you're making an offer to be one of the support team to this coordinated effort on education.
That's correct.
In that role, I understand that you can hold facilitated meetings, you can bring groups together and discuss what is needed, and we can bring it back here to this board.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very good role for extension.
That's a great answer. Thank you. Thank you very much, Joanne. Makes me really happy. Any other public comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. I'll call for a vote on the motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. So congratulations. You are now the coordinating agency for urban wildlife.
In Carson City.
Moving on, I would like to, let's see, we do have a public comment period. Any public comment? I do have one public comment, and that I can either step down there or I am now no longer the chairman. Just a public comment is that there is a lot of legislation on tap right now regarding wildlife, and I highly behoove everybody to take a look at the list of legislation, a lot of interesting things going on, and please get involved with legislation. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I will call for a motion on item number 6.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second that.
All those, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.